You ready for the word this morning? Praise you, Lord God. Turn in your Bibles with me. 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4, verse 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. This is a passage that always bothered me. In other words, the righteous shall scarcely be saved. Because I like to believe everybody that says, Jesus be my Lord, is going to heaven. I like to believe that God is a loving, merciful God and it's easy to get in. But I keep reading passages over and over that say, there are some trials you're going to go through. I mean, Scripture says that Satan's going to try to even deceive the very elect. And it is going to take everything we have to stay on a path to stay free of deception. And these passages used to bother me. In fact, they still bother me because I don't want to be deceived. Elaine Homer said her greatest prayer that she prays is that she never be deceived. And we're in a time frame I never thought I would see hit the church, especially the charismatic church, where person after person, even leaders, are being deceived in these end times by what I would call contaminated doctrines and even doctrines of devils, if not the great apostasy. Especially with this hyper-faith movement that's coming along. This is God can't see your sin anymore, and you can do what you want and still go to heaven. That doesn't line up with any understanding of Scripture that I have. And while I was in Texas, Pastor Emmanuel shared a dream with me he had had. Now, understand, I'm kind of jumping on top of other sermons we've done regarding the Harbinger. We've talked a little bit about the Shemitah. We know the four blood moons. We know things are about to shift in this nation, if not in the world. And he shared with me a dream he had. Actually, it was not a dream. It was a vision he had when he was first saved. And in the vision, he saw the flag of the United States. Now, I'm going to just share a short portion of it. He saw a flag of the United States. And he saw another flag come up from Mexico and another flag come up. And they overshadowed, they came over the top of the flag of the United States. He said, I don't know what it was, but one of the flags, it's a vision he had when he was first saved. And he says, one of the flags had on it a crescent moon and three stars. I said, that's an Islamic flag. And he saw this come over the United States. And he started sharing with me where God was showing him, like He'd shown me, that America's in for some challenging times. And then he says, and I found a prophecy online that is amazing how accurate it is today, considering when it was given. And we're going to look at that prophecy before we're done, but I wanted to start off with another prophecy that may put things in perspective in America. We now have in this nation, I believe it's over 50% of the children, or close to it, are born outside of marriage. Amen. 70% of black children are born outside of wedlock. That's a problem in our nation, that we've let our standards drop. From when I was in school, if you had a child out of wedlock, it was a disgrace. Not that they were looking to stone you, but it was a disgrace. And now over 50% of Christian marriages end up in divorce, and people go straight from divorce to sleeping around. Ever since we took prayer out of schools, this nation has seen an increasing decline in their standards and an increasing incline in immorality. And now it's whatever they want to put on television is okay. Whatever they want to put in the movies is okay. Even where they did the Charlie Brown Halloween special. Did you guys see this? They did the Halloween special for, you know, Charlie Brown, the Great Pumpkin or whichever. And as soon as it was over, they cut to a commercial of steamy bedroom scenes for another television show coming on. So the kids finish watching The Great Pumpkin, and they go straight to watching Skin. This is ridiculous. And there's a video of, I don't want to call it a prophecy, I want to call it just a declaration, that Paul Harvey started really in 1964. You've probably seen it online. Has anybody not seen Paul Harvey's prediction online? You haven't seen it? You have seen it. How many have seen that online? Paul Harvey's prediction for the future, if I were the devil. And it's almost chilling how accurate this prediction is, this declaration. And so I just want this morning to start off with that video, and then we'll go into talking about this prophecy. So if you can start that Paul Harvey video. Yeah, I might go get some lights.
If I were the prince of darkness,
hallelujah. Paul Harvey had a way of presenting things to keep you engaged, didn't he? I'm telling you, it's amazing how he's saying, if I were the devil, this is what I'd do, and here we are. He originally wrote it down in 1964. It was, I believe, aired in 1965. And then he made some adjustments later. I wasn't watching to see if this was the original version or not. He made some adjustments over the years to it. But the original version was so prophetic for today. The stuff, there's no way he could have known about even in those days. Yet here we are. Everything he mentioned, we're lined up to. And in 1964 when he gave it, everything he listed is in place today. And so, again, I don't want to call it a prophecy. I don't believe Paul Harvey ever claimed to be a prophet. But it's amazing how God will speak through certain people. Remember, he even spoke through, Pontius Pilate, or not Pontius, through the high priest, Caiaphas, and prophesied that Jesus had to be crucified. Well, I believe in some fashion God spoke through Paul Harvey about today. This thing's hit the internet, and of course it's been around for a few years and has gone highly viral. But we as a nation, I believe, have positioned ourselves in a precarious position. Now here's the funny thing. For years all this was going on, and increasingly the church stood as a vanguard against it. We shouldn't do these things. We shouldn't be involved in this. This shouldn't be on television. But now all of a sudden, we've got moves in the church where we're looking as much like the world as any other sinner. I've always declared that the closer we get to the return of Jesus, the more darkness would increase in the world, the more light would come on the church, and there would be more and more of a separation and obvious difference between the saint and the sinner. But now we see a move to bring the two back together again, that you can't tell the difference anymore. And now we're embracing sin in the church and calling it, you know, as unseen unto God, that he can't see it. And I believe we as a nation, as I've been saying, are in for an awakening. But here we see judgment must begin at the house of God. I am concerned for the present day church. I'm concerned for the present day leading edge revivalist church, that we don't let too much of the world creep in. And it's not always sin, it's the things of idolatry we've talked about, where we lose our fire for God and have more of a passion just for living out of the world and living out our lives like the world wants to do. And we know in here that God has plans for our lives. Amen? Well, this prophecy that I want to share is from an individual named Stanley Frodsham. Has anybody here ever heard of Stanley Frodsham? I didn't think so. I hadn't either. Stanley Frodsham was one of the founders of the Assemblies of God denominational system. He was born in 1882. He died in 1969. And he was one of the founders of the Assemblies of God, and he's one of the chief, what would you call it, that wrote everything down. Archivist. He's one of the persons that wrote most of the works we have, or the information we have on Smith Wigglesworth. And he was very good friends with Smith Wigglesworth. They traveled together. Smith Wigglesworth did Stanley's wedding. That's how close they were. And then later, Stanley was kicked out of the Assemblies of God for being a revivalist. Just like Kenneth Hagin was kicked out. Lester Sumrall was kicked out. Now, you can go all the way down the line. Those who were in the Assemblies of God that stayed on fire end up kicked out, including various ministries. And he was kicked out because he became a believer in what was known back in the 40s as the Latter Rain movement. There was a doctrine or a belief in the church that rose up. They called it the Latter Rain movement that the vast majority of the church rejected. And Stanley believed in this, as well as many of leading names of his time did come to believe in it. And I want to read you, this is not a prophecy, this is just the foundation platforms of the Latter Rain movement. You ready for this? The Latter Rain, meaning an end-time church filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, overcoming and victorious, attaining to the full stature of Christ as taught by the Apostle Paul. This is in the 1940s. They believed the church was not supposed to be defeated. They believe it's supposed to rise up and be victorious and demonstrate the fullness of the image of the stature of Christ. Wow. Can you imagine how that was rejected 70 years ago? Still rejected today. Number two, the sacrifice of praise, which was a major emphasis on worship. Teaching on the tabernacle of David and its restoration was a major theme. Dancing, lifting of hands, and spontaneous praise were marks of this movement. No wonder they got kicked out. They were letting the Holy Ghost express praise. Here's one I don't agree with. I can't. It doesn't line up with what I know. At least I think I know. Christian unity. A major theme of the Latter Rain was unity among believers. Now, I can believe that unity among believers. In the church service, in the geographic region, and at large. They taught that God saw the church organized not into denominational camps, but along geographical lines, as in the book of Acts. And they expected that in the coming last days, the various Christian denominations would dissolve, and the true church would coalesce into citywide churches under the leadership of the newly restored apostles and prophets. Now that I believe. I don't believe they'll all dissolve, but I believe there's going to be revivalists come out of dead systems and coalesce into a city-changing body of Christ. And that God has restored, never meant for it to go away, the apostle and the prophet. Do you understand this is still rejected today? But he was proclaiming as a movement in the 1940s what God intended for today. Number four. Laying on of hands. Unlike Pentecostals, who traditionally held that the baptism of the Holy Spirit usually comes after prolonged tarrying or waiting for the Spirit, the Latter Rain movement taught that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit can be imparted on one believer by another through the laying on of hands. How radical. How many of all these, to some level, have already come true? Or that revelation has come forth. The fivefold ministry. The Latter Rain taught that there would be a restoration of the five ministerial roles mentioned in Ephesians 4:11, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And we just happen to have that conference coming up this weekend. You know, most people can't come into a conference because they don't believe those five offices still exist. Manifested sons of God. Some leaders of the Latter Rain movement taught that as the end of the age approached, that the overcomers would arise within the church. These manifest sons of God, ones who have come into the full stature of Christ, or Jesus Christ, would receive the Spirit without measure. They would be as Jesus was when he was on earth. They would receive a number of divine gifts, including the ability to change their physical location, to speak any language through the Holy Spirit, and be able to perform divine healings and other miracles. They would complete the work of God, restoring man's rightful position as it was originally mandated in Genesis, by coming to the full stature of Christ. Now, whether any one person rise up in the full stature of Christ, I don't know. But there's no doubt the rest of these are taking place. God right now has been translating people in different places of the world to let them do a work and then bring them back. If you watch Sid Roth, you'll hear testimonies of that taking place. And of course, we're seeing the miracle power of God manifested like no time ever since the days of Jesus. Amen? And so these are all taking place. This excites me. There was somebody speaking about this 70 years ago. In the time of Smith Wigglesworth, or at least at his end time. And the rest is more on the manifest as sons of God. So he believed in this end time movement. Well, how many know this is proven to be true? At least from our perspective, this is all true. So here we see a man of God. He's not some nobody that brought forth a prophetic word. He was renowned in the church in his day. He just is not famous because he was never a pastor. But he was a chronologer, a writer, a minister. I said he wasn't a pastor. He may have been a pastor. And definitely was following the right path. Now, Manuel found this prophecy he gave. I believe he gave the prophecy right before he died. In fact, he died in 69. I think the prophecy is from 65, which is the same time frame as Paul Harvey's. And it's a long prophecy. Oh, hallelujah. And I want to take time this morning with the rest of our time to read through this prophecy and see what this man of God had to say about America in the end times, because it's dealing with the end times. Are you ready for this? And one of my least favorite things to do is read long passages in a service. But we're gonna bear with it this morning. Go ahead and scroll up. Keep going. This is where the prophecy begins. I'm going to read and you can just scroll with me. How's that sound? With great judgments will I plead with the population of this country. Great darkness is coming upon the countries that have heard my gospel but no longer walk in it. Did you hear that? The countries that have heard the gospel but are no longer walking in the truths of that gospel. My wrath shall come upon them. The darkness shall be so great and the anguish so sore that men shall cry out for death and shall not find it. There shall be a lingering death, famine, and great catastrophes. Now, much of the church now proclaims that we're in the time of grace and no wrath of God can be released. I believe that we may not see the full wrath of God right now. I believe that's stored up for the tribulation. But we're going to see aspects of it early to produce, how can I say, a purifying of the church. And we know that the time of the glory is going to be a time of great darkness. Remember Isaiah 60, arise and shine, for the light is come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but my glory shall be seen upon thee. So the glory is coming in a time of great darkness. It's obvious that Stanley had read this passage as well. Well, didn't necessarily. We know he has, but God's speaking about that. And so he says, my wrath shall be manifested against all ungodliness. It shall come with great intensity. You have known my love, but have not experienced my wrath or my severity. My judgments are literal and not a thing to be passed over lightly. Realize the severity of my judgments and my intense anger against the sin in my household. So we're just inviting in. Not we, but much of the church. My judgments shall begin in my house. For I will cleanse my house, that it be not a partaker of my wrath against the iniquities of the cities. Before I visit the nations in judgment, I will begin at my house. God can't bring the gross darkness until he gets rid of the darkness out of his church. We were at my mom's house, and she was wanting some coffee, and my sister and her husband are both big coffee drinkers. Well, my mom doesn't drink coffee. And we're looking, there's no coffee in the house. We finally found some coffee pods. And found a coffee maker in the closet, pulled it out, and started to make coffee. And Patty says, maybe we ought to run just some water through it first to begin with to see, you know, to clean it out. We start running out, and the cup's filling with this crud. I told them it's just extra minerals. Drink it. Well, after they did it two or three times, that was enough. They couldn't do it anymore. They said, enough. We're not drinking any of this coffee out of here. Well, see, God's got to purge the crud out of the church to produce a pure instrument he can use in the end times. When I do cause my wrath to come upon the cities of the world, my people shall be separate. I desire a people without spot or wrinkle, and such will be preserved by me in the time of my wrath, which will be coming upon all iniquity and righteousness. He says he's going to cause his wrath to come upon cities. Now here's another thing that jumps out at me. When God showed me the vision of the water tower 25 years ago, it opened up and there was a glorious city. God intends to preserve cities with the glory. But I believe other cities will not be preserved. Amen. And he says, I desire, look at this, I desire a church or a people without spot or wrinkle, and such will be preserved by me in the time of my wrath. That's the speedboat. They were partying, they were preserved, but destruction was hitting everywhere else. This thing started marrying together. The visions I've seen, the condition of the church today, written 50 years ago. Or given by God 50 years ago, I guess. He says, I'm going to prepare you for the coming days by a hard path that will cause many to cry out continually unto me. For when the going is easy, men do not seek me, but rejoice in a temporary blessing. And when the blessing is removed, they so often turn this way and that way, but do not come to me. He says, I'm leading you on a hard path, so that you'll be continually crying out to God. Why does it have to be so hard in revival? Because God is keeping you on his face. Not that God's doing it, but I've told people for years, God can't bring you the $1 million you're believing for. Because if he brings you $1 million, you'll quit using your faith. I have come to the realization, because I've been in the land of just enough for so long. Every church I've been affiliated with has always been just enough. Usually not enough, and you pray and then just enough comes in. Every time it's like here's your need and here's your supply. But it always comes in. It always comes in. In the church, time and time again, it looks like there's no way we can make it. Yet here comes God. Even at home, Patty and I now have been living in this faith, full-fledged faith thing for 21 years, and we have never not paid a payment. Yet it always looks like no way. Yet here comes way. Yahweh, right? Here comes Yahweh. And it gets done. But there's never, you know, we would love for there to be $1 million in the account and we don't have to worry about this and to pray over this, whatever. But it's always like, stay on your face. And here it comes. I'm believing I have. It's taken years. Again, every church I've been has been like this. I've gotten to finally the point, it's not that I don't care anymore. I'm just not concerned anymore. I know it's going to happen. So I just worship God and thank Him. I don't have to fret anymore. I don't have to be pressured anymore, stressed. Bless God, it's coming. We believe, we receive, we've sown the seed in Jesus' name. And until you get to that point, you'll stay in just enough. Till you get to the point it doesn't stress you and you know God's going to come through, the God that knows the number of hairs on your head. Till you quit stressing, you'll stay in the land of just enough because He's going to keep you to the place, that place till your faith grows up. Hard path. You talk about all. Any of you guys been through a hard path? My goodness. But it's been educational. I'm showing you these things in order that you may seek me continually and with great diligence. As you seek me, I will open up truths to you that have not been seen before. And these very truths will be such that will enable you to stand in these last days. I'm going to reveal truths to you that have not been seen before. We've been speaking about this. God is releasing keys to the church in the end times. He's unveiling truths that the church has never grasped a hold of in order that in the times of trial, we have the equipment in our hands, the promises in our hands to stand against every wave of assault. Such that no weapon formed against us prospers. He was prophesying this in 1965 or before, however, whenever this was done. Truths that you've not seen before. These truths shall enable you to stand in these last days. See, it was impossible 20, 30 years ago for people to stand in the end times with what they knew. God has to get more understanding to us. Amen. You know, people thought Stanley was crazy. Because the Latter Rain Movement believed there'll even be a time that people can translate. But it sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? Translate. We know there's times people translate where God does it supernaturally. Where God will translate somebody across the world or across the nation. Or Nancy shared about she's been translated before driving. Several of you have been translated before. You're one place, next thing you know, you're another place. Way ahead of schedule. But what if our faith rises to the place that if they're shooting a gun at you, next thing you know, you can say, I'm out of here, and you're down the road. Pastor Philip Derber talks about the time this karate guy came up to him, and he was witnessing in a bar, and this karate guy comes up and says, I'm gonna tear your face off, basically. And God tells him to step to the left, so he does. And God says, now walk straight forward, and he does, and he walks all the way to the door, turns around, and the guy's still up there like he's going to tear his face off. No, and the whole bar's looking there. They never saw him move. What if we could do that with our faith? Through faith, nothing shall be impossible unto you. I'm not declaring we're going to translate on purpose. I'm telling it is a possibility. Ooh, he's lost it now. People thought I was crazy when I said we'd be able to raise the dead. Amen? We in this ministry have now seen every miracle that can take place I can think of. Every major miracle you can imagine, we've seen take place. He says, as you are persecuted, reviled, and rejected by your brethren, then you will return unto me with all your heart and seek me for that spiritual life that you will need. So that when the tribulation comes, you will have that which will enable you to stand. Now, I don't believe he's talking about the great tribulation here. I personally believe the great tribulation, even the full tribulation, is going to be after the rapture. But there are tribulations that are going to come before that tribulation once the church is out of here. At least the bride is out of here. For many will be tossed to and fro. Men's hearts shall fail them because of trouble on every hand. These days shall be very terrible, the likes of which have never been seen before. Amen. We're heading for some trying times. The coming glory and deceiving spirits. Are you getting anything out of this so far? When I visit my people in mighty revival power, it is to prepare them for the darkness ahead. With the glory shall come great darkness. For the glory is to prepare my people for the darkness. God's going to bring His glory to equip us to deal with darkness. I will enable my people to go through the darkness because of the visitation of my Spirit. Take heed to yourselves, lest you be puffed up and think that you have arrived. Many shall be puffed up as in the olden days, for then many received my message but did not continue in it. Did I anoint Jehu? Yet the things that I desired were not accomplished in his life. Listen to the messengers, but do not hold men's persons in admiration or adulation. For many whom I shall anoint mightily with signs and miracles shall become lifted up and fall by the wayside. I do not this willingly, for I've made provision that they might stand. I call many into this ministry and equip them, but remember that many shall fall. They shall be like bright lights, and the people shall delight in them. But they shall be taken over by deceiving spirits, and shall lead many of my people astray. Hearken diligently concerning these things, for in the last days shall come seducing spirits. They shall turn many of my anointed ones away. Many shall fall through diverse lusts and become because of sin abounding. But if you seek me diligently, I will put my spirit within you. So that when one shall turn to the right hand or to the left hand, you shall not turn with them. But instead you will keep your eyes fixed wholly on the Lord. The coming days are going to be most dangerous, difficult, and dark. For there shall be a mighty outpouring of my Spirit and judgment upon many cities, and many shall be destroyed. My people must be diligently warned concerning the days ahead. Many shall turn after seducing spirits, and already many are seducing my people. It is those who do righteousness that are righteous. Many cover their sins by great theological words. But I warn you of seducing spirits who instruct my people in an evil way. Many of these I will anoint, that they in turn may purify and sift my people, for I will have a holy people. When I come, I shall not find faith upon the earth, but in a few. For when the time of testing comes, many will depart from their Lord. Many shall come with seducing spirits and hold out lustful enticements. You will find that after I visited my people again, the way will become more and more narrow, and fewer shall walk therein. Be not deceived. The ways of righteousness are my ways. For though Satan come as an angel of light, hearken not to him. For those who perform miracles and speak not righteousness are not of me. Oh, there's a key right there. I warn you with great intensity that I'm going to judge my house and have a church without spot or wrinkle when I come. I desire to open mine eyes, or open your eyes, and give you spiritual understanding that you may not be deceived, but may walk with uprightness of heart before me, loving righteousness and hating every evil way, versus turning intentionally to that channel. Threw that part in. Look unto me, and I will make you to perceive with eyes of the Spirit the things that lurk in darkness, that are not visible to the human eye. Let me lead you in this way that you may perceive the powers of darkness and battle against them. It is not a battle against flesh and blood, for if you battle in that way, you accomplish nothing. But if you let me take over and battle against the powers of darkness, then they are defeated, and then liberation is brought to my people. This is my first opportunity to comment since the election. The election was obviously a landslide, I believe, representing moral standards in the nation. But election will never turn this nation. That's flesh and blood. Now, a revival will affect elections, but elections will not cause revival. And this nation is still walking down the path it was walking down before, just with some different people in power. It's going to take the church stepping forward in their positions of authority, declaring the word with authority to bring what we need to turn this nation around. Amen. Hallelujah. The ways of deceivers. Is that the next spot? Yes. I warn you to search the Scriptures diligently concerning these last days. For the things that are written shall indeed be made manifest. That's what we've been doing, is searching the last days, right? For there shall come deceivers among my people in increasing numbers, who shall speak forth the truth and shall gain the favor of the people. For the people shall examine the Scriptures and say, what these men say is true. Then when they have gained the hearts of the people, then and then only shall they bring out their wrong doctrines. In other words, they're going to gain great popularity, but then there'll be a shift in their doctrine. For the people shall examine the Scriptures and say, oh, I'm sorry, wrong spot. Therefore I say that you should not give your hearts to men, nor hold people's persons in admiration of adulation, or adulation. For by these very persons, Satan shall gain entry into my people. Watch for seducers. Do you think a seducer will brandish a heresy and flaunt it before the people? He will speak words of righteousness and truth and will appear as a minister of light, declaring the word. The people's hearts shall be won. Then when the hearts are won, they will bring out their doctrines and the people shall be deceived. The people shall say, did he not speak thus and thus? And did we not examine it from the word? Therefore he is a minister of righteousness. This that he has now spoken, we do not see in the word, but it must be right, for the other things he spoke were true. In other words, he's going to get off the word and people aren't going to check it. Be not deceived. Do you notice God keeps saying that in this prophecy? For the deceiver will first work to gain the hearts of many, and then shall bring forth his insidious doctrines. You cannot discern those who are of me and those who are not of me when they start to preach. But seek me constantly. And when these doctrines are brought out, you shall have a witness in your heart that they are not of me. Which is exactly what is happening. Fear not, for I have warned you. It is possible that the very elect may be deceived. But it is not possible if you walk in holiness and uprightness before the Lord, for then your eyes shall be open and the Lord will protect you. If you will constantly look unto the Lord, you will know that when the doctrine changes and will not be brought... Let me read that again. If you will constantly look unto the Lord, you will know when the doctrine changes and will not be brought into it. If your heart is right, I will keep you. If you look constantly to me, I will uphold you. Do you see the need here to keep focused on Jesus and stay in the Word? The minister of righteousness shall be on this wise. His life shall agree with the Word, and his lips shall give forth that which is wholly true. There will be no mixture. When the mixture appears, then you will know he is not a minister of righteousness. The deceivers speak first the truth and then error, to cover their own sins which they love. Therefore I exhort and command you to study the Scriptures relative to seducing spirits, for this is one of the great dangers of the last days. Apostle Callan's been saying for a year or more that where these people are getting off the truth, we have a saying, that dog probably has a hold of your leg. That they're doing it to cover their own sins. That when you say God can't see your sin, there's a chance you've got something you don't want God to see. And that's what this prophecy says. They do it to cover their own sins. I desire you to be firmly established in my word and not in the personalities of men. That you will not be moved as so many shall be moved. I will keep you in the paths of righteousness. Take heed to yourselves and follow not the seducing spirits that are already manifesting themselves. Diligently inquire of me when you hear something that you have not seen in the Word. And do not hold people's persons in admiration. For it is by this very method that Satan will hold many of my people. I know how it is easy to just to admire me and take what I say as the truth. But I plead with you, always check what I say against the Word. It's got to line up with the Word. The way of triumph. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That you may triumph where I've triumphed. On the cross I triumphed over all the powers of Satan. And I've called you to walk in the same path. It is when your life is on the cross that you shall know the victory that I've experienced. As you were on the cross seated in me, then you shall know the power of the resurrection. When I come in my glory, the principalities and powers in the heavenly places shall be utterly broken. This is talking about overcoming. This doctrine wasn't... Nobody comprehended this doctrine 50 years ago. Fear not, for I've given you the power whereby you may tread down the powers of darkness and come forth victorious through every trial. As you are on the cross, then you are victorious. It was on the cross that I triumphed over all the powers of the enemy. My life shall flow through you as you enter into these precious truths. Look unto me and appropriate my life. As your eyes and desires are toward me, and you know what it is to be crucified with me, then you shall live and your anointing shall increase. It was not in my life as I walked upon the earth, but rather it was in my life as I hung upon the cross that I openly spoiled principalities and powers. I am showing you truth that shall cause you to overcome, to have power over the wicked one. This is the truth that will liberate you and those around you. You shall know also the fellowship of my sufferings. There was no other way whereby you may partake of this heavenly glory and to reign with me. My word says that if we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. This is what the fivefold is going to be about, is what you go through to get to the anointing. It's not a microwave process. I desire to make these truths real within you. As you keep them before you, you will in turn liberate many who are in bondage. You will have revelation of those who are in darkness and will have the keys to liberate the captives. There's the keys. Many seek to liberate, but do not have the keys. Upon the cross, continually you will know the power of my resurrection. If you will indeed judge yourself, you shall not be judged. As you seek my face and desire to be cleansed by me, in all truth and sincerity of heart, I will judge you in the secret place. And the things that are in the secret place of your heart shall not be made manifest to others. He says, if you'll judge yourself, nobody will find out about those things, because they'll be dealt with in the secret place. I will do it in the secret place, and no man will know it. The shame that will be seen on many faces shall not be seen upon your face. Therefore, in mercy and love, I'm instructing you in order that you may partake of my glory. As you are willing to walk with me and rejoice in your sufferings, you shall in turn partake of my glory. Look unto me, for you have need of power to overcome the wicked one and the bondages in others' lives. I said that if a man will judge himself, he shall not be judged. It is not my good pleasure that the shame of my people shall be seen by all. How can I judge the world if I judge not first my own house? Hearken unto these things that I'm telling you. If you do not hearken unto me, my shame shall be evident to all. Intermission. Are you following this okay? Is it boring you this morning? These things amaze me. This is more than, yea, yea, thus saith the Lord, he loves you with an everlasting love. This is specific. God's part and our part. What have I been telling you? Jesus finished his part. He didn't finish our part. When I read this, I was tripping out. Can't wait to get in the pool. I would have you consider my life on earth. The anointing upon me was great, and yet the temptations were great on every side. They came in one form and then in another, offering me first the glory of the kingdoms of the earth, that's the buyouts, and then in the form of reviling and persecution. There will be great glory given to my people, but also the temptations will be intensified on every side. Think not that with the glory there will be no temptations or persecutions. The glory to my church shall be great, and so also the temptations from the enemy to turn my people from my paths. I warn you again that when the glory shall be manifested, the temptation shall be great, until very few that started shall finish the course. Pastor, what can we do? Stay holy. Disconnect from the world. At least the lusts of the world, right? First of all, they shall be offered great worldly possessions, and then will come great revilings and unbelief. Consider your Lord, that as he walked, so it shall be for you. There shall be need of great intensity of purpose. At times it will seem that everyone is rising up against you, but not your pastor, trying to turn you from the course that I've set for you. It is written of me that I set my face as flint to go in the direction that my fathers prescribed for me. If you will finish the course the Lord has laid down for you, you too will have set your face as a flint. With great determination, you must walk in the course laid down for you. Many of your loved ones and those who follow with you will seek to persuade you and will try to turn you from the course. With many words that seem right in the natural, they will speak to you. Did not Christ rebuke Peter, who would turn him from the course God had prescribed? Understand these two things and meditate upon them solemnly. The persecution and the darkness shall be as great as the glory in order to turn the elect and the anointed ones from the path that the Lord has laid for them. Wow. Many shall start, but few shall be able to finish because of the greatness of grace that shall be needed to be able to endure to the end. That kind of gives grace a different meaning than they're proclaiming now, right? The temptation and the persecution of your Lord was continuous. Do you feel like you're under continuous attack? That's because you're after the anointing. He was tempted by Satan in many forms throughout his entire life, and even to the cross, where the ungodly cried out, "If thou be the Christ, come down from the cross." Think not that there will be a time of no persecution. for it shall be from the time of your anointing until the end. Difficulties and great persecutions will go on to the end. The Lord must prepare you to be an overcomer in all things, that you may be able to finish the course. The persecution shall increase even as the anointing shall increase. Amen. In paths of judgment and righteousness shall the Lord God lead His people and bring them to that place which He has chosen for them. The Lord has chosen a place for His people, a place of righteousness and holiness where He shall encamp around them. All who will be led of the Lord will be brought into this holy place. For the Lord delights to dwell in His people and to manifest Himself through His people. The holiness of the Lord will be manifested through His people. Let the Lord lead you, and He will lead you in these difficult places. He led His people of old through a place where no man dwelt, where no man passed through, in a place of great danger and in the shadow of death. The Lord will indeed lead His people. I know this is long and drawn out, and I know it's somewhat dark, maybe even be heavy, but it's time the church quit looking for la-la land. Recognize they're in a war. And God gave you weapons and tools and provision to win. Amen. Again, through such places, and at the same time will bring them out of the place of great glory, or out into a place of great glory. Understand that the way toward the glory is fraught with great danger, and many shall fall to the right or the left. Many shall camp on lesser ground, but the Lord has a place of holiness, and no unclean thing shall dwell among His people. Put your trust in Him, and He will bring you into a place of holiness. He desires to bring His people into great glory, the likes of which have never been seen. For this is what the Lord will do for those who put their trust in Him. It is a place of darkness and great danger, and it will separate His people into the place where He would have them walk. He will protect them from the voices that would turn them from His path. He will bring them through the dark places and treacherous paths and lead them out into the light of His glory. He will greatly rejoice over His beloved and cause them to be filled with joy unspeakable. He seeks to lead His people into a new place of grace and glory where He will indeed encamp among them. Put your trust in Him, and He will surely bring you into this new place. Fear not the days to come, but fear this only, that you shall walk in a manner pleasing to the Lord. And this time I'm ordering and setting up my church, and it shall be indeed be pure without spot or wrinkle. I will do a work in my beloved that has not been seen since the foundation of the world. Oh, praise the Lord. I've shown you these things that you may seek the Lord diligently with all your heart, and that you may be a preserver of His people. That would be an intercessor to some level. Run not to this one or to that one. For the Lord has so ordained that salvation is in Him and in Him alone. You shall not turn to this shepherd or to that one, for there shall be a great scattering upon the earth. Therefore look unto Him, for He will indeed make these things clear to you. You shall not look here or there, for His well shall increase your strength and your faith as He prepares for you for the times that are coming. The truths that I've revealed, this is key, must become a part of you. Not just an experience, but a part of your very nature. Is it not written that I demand truth in the inward parts? It is the truth of the Lord expressed in your very being that shall hold you. Many shall experience the truth, but the truth must become part of you, your very life. As men and women look upon you, they will not only hear the voice, but see the expression of truth. Many shall be overcome because they are not constant in my ways and because they have not permitted the truth to become a part of them. I'm showing you these things that you may be prepared and having done all to stand. And I wanted to read sent from my iPad, but it's not part of it. We're involved right now in times of temptation on every side. Again, you can't go to the movies that is not portraying you fornication as an ordinary human activity. You know, it should be considered normal. Homosexuality is now being presented as an alternate form, you know, an alternate lifestyle, as cool. They're not teaching your children how to pray to Allah in school, but can't pray to Jesus. And we could go on and on with all the areas. This nation, and therefore the Christian, is under assault. And I believe there's only one way, as this prophecy brings forth. You make it through. That you put both your feet standing on the Word of God and say, I'll not move from God's way of doing things. And you maintain a prayer life with that Word life that you can hear God say, this is the way, walk you in it. And you don't budge regardless of the draw, the temptation, or how everybody else says it's acceptable. There's a great separation coming in the church between those that want to walk like the world and gravitate towards whatever grace misses makes it acceptable. And those that will say, no, I know what God told me. I know what the Word says. And I refuse, no matter how many go to that direction, I refuse to go with them. We speak the passage, a thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near your dwelling. A lot of times we think that's people dying. 1,000 die over here, 10,000 over there. But fall doesn't mean necessarily dying. It just means they leave the right way. And never in the history of Christianity, listen to what I'm about to say, never in the history of Christianity has the popular way ever been the right way. The multitudes that would declare Jesus as Lord have never reflected the heart of God to have people really go after Him. And it's always been, look through the history of revival. Look at the early church movements. How few people would stay the course. Seven letters written in Revelation. Five were bad, one was neutral, one was good. Now, let me throw this out as well. When it's talking about overcoming in the end times and walking this path of victory, I believe only faith people are going to be able to do that. Only faith people are going to be on that boat full of revivalists, because it's going to take faith and knowing the promises of God and how to activate the keys of the kingdom to be an overcomer. But I believe we can separate out. That doesn't mean all those people won't go to heaven. Do you follow me? I'm of the opinion there'll be a whole lot of people that won't stand in the tribulation, that they can maintain their life or whatever, but that doesn't mean that a whole lot of them that love God aren't going to go to heaven. So if you've got friends, you know, family members, friends, whatever, that have been caught up in religion, but you know they love Jesus, you know they're born again, they're living somewhat honorable lives, I believe they're going to heaven. However, that doesn't mean just because they said they believed in Jesus, just because maybe they walked with Him for a while, if they turn back to the way of darkness, that they will. Because there is a place of leaving that way you know to walk in, where you walk back the other direction, and I believe there's a place where you walk away from salvation. Amen. And I don't know that any man knows that dividing point but only God. But I don't want to just make it to heaven. I don't want to just slip in. I want to be fully in the will of God, honoring God with all of my life, and manifest all the anointing and glory that I can. Because God has charged us in this church. I don't know about any other church in Georgetown, but I know this church. He's charged us to see that water tower open up and see this become a city shining with the glory of God. So I'm letting you know today, don't think it's going to be this fun trip every day. They had on television last week the man that killed Osama bin Laden, Navy SEAL. Who was I speaking to? I forget who I was speaking to. One of their relatives was about to become a Navy SEAL. And he'd gone all the way through the training. He's right at the end. And he got to thinking about, you know, once you're a Navy SEAL, you're always a Navy SEAL. You just don't do 2 years duty and you're done. You're a Navy SEAL for a long time. And you have to live like that for a long time. He says, do I really want to live all my life like this? And even though he passed every test, he says, I don't want to live like this forever. And he went and rang the bell, which means he was exiting the program. And I want you to know, this is a lifestyle for good. Now, the good news is you get promoted all the way through it. You get more anointing and more glory all the way through it, which means you get more victories all the way through it. I believe God wants you to be very wealthy. I want you to be where you never get sick another day of your life and where you never miss a meal if you don't want to because you can believe in the food. I believe you'll do the supernatural. You'll see miracles people never dreamed of. But I can't tell you it's going to be la-la land every step of the way. There's going to be a necessity that you say, no, I will not go the way of the world. Amen? And you'll be in your Bible when everybody else is at the ball game. Amen. You'd be on your knees where everybody else is at the movies. Because there's a price to pay to move into it. Well, did you get anything out of this morning? Everybody okay with it? Everybody still love me? I love you too. Something's got to turn this nation around. This thing's about to explode. And, God's got better. Father, draw us into relationship with you and your word like never before. I bind all heaviness that would try to rest on us, any demonic pressure that would try to sneak in and counterfeit itself as the conviction of God or the anointing. But I speak, Father, you raise up an awareness of what it takes to be used by you in these end times, where we refuse to move off of it. Saturate each one here with your love, with your strength, and with a determination to never go the way of the multitudes. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hug some necks. Share the love of God. Be a blessing.